Welcome to the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast. We explore popular practices, songs, and ideas of the modern church world in the light of Sola Scriptura and Tota Scriptura. I'm Cody Fields. I own Westminster Effects. You can buy stuff for your guitar at westminstereffects.com. Join the discussion in the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast Lounge on Facebook. Make sure, hey, for real, go share the Instagram or the Facebook post to your story and help us beat the algorithm. I'm pretty sure I've been shadow banned and we're working on trying to remedy that. Instagram sucks. Anyway, joining me in person is...
Hey folks, it's Bradley Cox, pastor at Resurrection Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And via the miracle of the interwebs, we have...
Indeed. John Ross, Westminster Effects artist, Augsburgian Christian, exhausted because I haven't caught up on sleep yet from a 2 a.m. flight I wasn't on from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, dear. Catching up from the flights that you weren't on, maybe.
Yeah, that I had to pick up for. So there was some driving in there. So it wasn't even like when you get home you can go right to sleep because you had to pound, you know, coffee before just to stay alert on the road.
Well,
but yeah, safety first.
As we say in the South, bless your heart.
Indeed,
I'm going to be in the same boat Thursday night because my in-laws are flying in from a. They actually took the Queen Mary 2 across the ocean, docked in Southampton, and we're going to spend 4 days or so in London and then fly home. It took them a week to get over there, but they're flying home on Thursday night. I have to pick them up at like 1 a.m. It's their 50th anniversary trip.
Happy anniversary. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Transatlantic.
Yeah, nice. Man. The same ocean line or what I don't know what the term is that picked up the survivors of the Titanic all those years ago.
Oh, wow. When you mentioned the Titanic, my initial reaction was, well, that's not a good track record, but it's the people who saved the people from the
whoever was on the Carpathia.
Yeah, the Carpathia was what picked them up, I think.
Yeah, but this isn't a Left Behind novel. You're welcome for that.
Cunard Line Transatlantic Passenger Ship. Well, there we go.
How about it?
Yeah.
How about
Cunard,
it?
Cunard Line.
Well, for our episode today, I figured we would just import the Inquisition from a couple weeks ago that we never got to because there were good questions to talk about.
Copy paste.
And yeah, so Control C, Control V, or since I'm on a Mac now, Command C and then Command V because I am civilized now.
Hashtag extra.
Yes. So our main topic, before we get to the Inquisition, that was also the Inquisition before anyway, comes from Brian Morris, and he asks, should we buy good guitar gear or really any products? Just throw in whatever, office supplies, computer chips, whatever, from heretics. And by heretics, he actually gives a definition of those marketing themselves as Christian, but who have rancid theology rather than those who do not claim Christ at all.
Well, right. Apparently, according to last week's episode, we're not supposed to be buying any Christian product.
Oh, man.
We're supposed to be giving them all away.
Sorry, Conley. Yeah.
Continuity.
Yeah, so I don't even know why we're talking about this.
Yeah, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, go back and listen. That was a fun conversation.
It was good
conversation.
Yeah, I
appreciate him raising the question.
Yeah,
you know, I wasn't on the on the show last week, but I did listen to it during editing, and yeah, I mean, really interesting points and observations. So I'm
absolutely.
Cool opportunity to have him on.
Things that need to be talked about that haven't been talked about. But anyway,
yeah,
setting that aside, we're not talking about ministry. We're not talking about gospel ministry. We're talking about products.
Unless Cody happens to start Westminster Effects Chapel.
the Westminster Effects Prayer. No, I can go sponsor the prayer chapel at North Greenville. 20 minutes north of here where I went to school. And so the North Greenville University Prayer Chapel brought to you by this prayer has been sponsored by.
Right.
We are a case study in contradiction here. Yeah.
Anyways,
that's our goal at Westminster Effects.
So I'm glad he makes the distinction on individuals, and you know we've had the discussion of like, can a company be Christian? Nah. But if you know if it's an individual who's using their relationship to the church, I mean not a church necessarily, but the church or Christianity or Christian principles or what have you, that uses that specific relationship as a marketing opportunity, then has some wonky theology. I'm glad we have some focus there, because if the question is, can we buy stuff from heretics? I'm like, there ain't nothing left, Brian.
Right.
Like,
You'd have to grow your own food, but then you couldn't buy the seeds from anybody. So you'd have to go get the seeds somehow. Mm-hmm. I guess you could steal them. So then you wouldn't be buying from heretics, you know, but then you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments and, you know, we just keep going down a rabbit hole of having a really bad time.
I mean, the spirit of it here, though, is, you know, there are, and we're not going to give specific examples here, but there are numerous companies, whether it be guitar gear or otherwise, who market things specifically to those in the church or those in a church, and the way they do that marketing is by kind of propping up that, hey, you know, I'm one of you, and and the question is, should we support individuals who own a business that use their relationship to the church as a way to market? Should we buy for those individuals if their theology is not orthodox and/or agrees with our own?
Yeah. And full disclosure, I have been told straight up by some people that they will not buy my stuff because I'm Reformed. You know, so there is that. There are people out there who do make that decision based on that, you know, they'll say, hey, it sounds great, but I'm not supporting a Calvinist or whatever. And, you know, I don't hold that against them. They're missing out.
When you were reading the question, you started to, or maybe this was before we hit record, mm-hmm. you started to name some people that would fall into this category mm-hmm. that you said you weren't going to name on the podcast.
Right.
It's fine. But I think I remember you saying, one in particular, those are good guys.
Yes.
They have bad theology.
Yeah. Right? And I've met several of these people. And if you think I'm talking about you, the answer is maybe.
but my question is, unpack what you mean by that, that they are good people with bad theology. Talk and unpack that for me.
Right. And so at least, not getting into whether it's absolutely orthodox or not, not whether it's, you know, they're full-blown heretical. It's at very least, we disagree very, very strongly, but at least for a couple of them, and I'm not talking about people who laud the prosperity gospel or anything, but these are people who we would recognize as brothers, mm-hmm. right? And they act like it,
okay.
even. And so there's at least that out there where, you know, let's just throw out something crazy. Maybe somebody has a pedal company based off of the rapture. This is not a thing. I'm just inventing something. Everything is rapture themed, and you know,
Left Behind Effects LLC.
Yeah, exactly. Left Behind Effects. You know, you have the rapture distortion. You have the tribulation tremolo.
It just stops working halfway through.
Wow.
And you have
it just started flowing.
Yeah. And you have the
you're making this up on
the you have the if the Lord tarries delay.
Oh. I think we've got something,
guys. And the final trumpet reverb.
You've got something.
Yeah, we got something
this
going.
This is a marketable business.
This could be a social experiment, actually.
I mean, you think about how well the Left Behind series did.
Yeah.
I
got in the wrong.
Think of all the money and resources you could bring in to benefit the kingdom by having a pedal company
based on
eschatological heresy.
If that's a soundbite you put for this episode, I'm done.
I don't think we have a choice.
So you wouldn't necessarily not buy from a dispensationalist. You just wouldn't buy a dispensational themed.
Right, because that goes against my theology. And so when it's on my board and I'm posting a rig pick, right, it's kind of like a lot of guys did not want to have, you know, cover your kids' ears if you have to. MXR, you know, large company, has a custom badass series.
Right.
Right. So some people didn't want that.
Right.
So let's back off of the theme in and of itself and just go to the dude, right? The messaging behind the company being, or at least the guy behind the company holding to bad theology, and then maybe starting to put out bad theological messaging within the marketing, if that makes sense. Because I think there is a difference between I am marketing this particular stance within this particular product. Mm-hmm. You know, when I put John Calvin on a compressor, that says something, you know, and I'm okay with that. When I put the 1689 on an overdrive and all the Presbyterians roll their eyes at me, that's saying something, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But that's different than someone having the insert letters and numbers here, distortion or amp or guitar, and then holding different views. Does that make sense?
I think, you know, we've got to acknowledge that this is a complex, layered question and an issue, mm-hmm. right? I mean, John's hitting on it. I mean, there's the issue of personal conviction. You know, anything that doesn't proceed from faith is sin for me. So it's like, I think that has to be factored in. I think there's also before I say that, let me say this. One of the things that concerns me, though, when it comes to questions like this, is that I feel like there's too much, particularly in the reform world, of a rush to label somebody a heretic.
Sure.
And then also, when someone is rightfully labeled a heretic, this prideful, arrogant sort of condemnation that seems to just spew from the social media accounts that are devoted to labeling people heretics.
Sure, yeah.
And from the people themselves that comment on such things, like, that really bothers me. I think we need to be very cautious, I think, as well as diligent. Like, we need to be cautious in labeling people a heretic, but we also need to be very diligent in contending for the faith, as Jude would command us to. Mm-hmm. That's a careful balance that I don't know that, at least in the Reformed community, that the scales are tipped in the right way.
And, you know, there's another nuance to this, is there's also a difference between someone like Joel Osteen or Bill Johnson and someone in his church. Who is just a guy in his church, not in leadership or anything like that. Maybe hold some of these stances out of ignorance. And maybe if what is it in Acts where the two women take a guy aside and correct him?
It's Aquila and Priscilla pull Apollos aside.
Yes, maybe he needs an Aquila and Priscilla to just say, "Hey, what's up with this?
That's right.
How did you get there?
And that sort of leads me to think about Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 5, where there's sexual immorality being tolerated in the church. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he says this, verse 9 of chapter 5, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all. And now he's got to clarify that. He says, not at all meaning sexually immoral of the world, or greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. And I think that's Paul's way of saying, essentially, don't expect the world to not act like the world. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need to distance ourselves from the unapologetically unregenerate.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, but then verse 11, but now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. In other words, someone who claims Christ, but then not only has these behaviors present in their life, but someone who is unwilling to admit the sinful nature of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is unwilling to acknowledge the sinful nature of them. They might even try to justify those things as part of their Christian life. Paul says, don't associate with that. Okay. My point is, I think there is a point, or there's a consideration that needs to be given to the individual, which is kind of what you're hitting on,
mm-hmm.
and the level of heresy.
Yes.
That is present in that person or in that organization. It's one thing for there to be some differences of opinion on what we might call secondary theological issues, mm-hmm. Versus someone who is blatantly either disregarding or disregarding some essential element of the Christian faith, or is bringing in something that is directly contradictory to the essentials, yep. of the Christian faith.
And real quick before John chimes in, there's also a difference between espousing a heresy that they've studied,
yes.
right? So someone like Bill Johnson espousing the kenosis heresy that Jesus stopped being God during the incarnation. Mm. There's a difference between that and someone who is a layperson using sloppy language regarding the nature of the Trinity, right? Where James White has said repeatedly, if you take a poll or a survey of most church members, they will accidentally end up probably parroting some form of modalism on accident.
On accident, or they might parrot some, you know, prosperity light
mm-hmm.
version out of right. ignorance, not really having studied and thought through it.
Right.
I just think there's a difference when a Christian, someone who claims the name of Christ, is lauding heresy and perhaps even selling a product that further lauds that heresy. We have to weigh then, what is the heresy? How deep and how wicked is the heresy,
mm-hmm.
and what's going on with the individual who's doing such things before we make a decision about whether or not to buy their products, and how might it affect both our testimony and the testimony of Christ in doing so?
Well, let's move on to the Inquisition, shall we? And this is the Inquisition, where you ask us questions and we answer them on the fly, which really isn't all that different from the rest of the episode in the first place, but you submit those questions via a usually weekly post in the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast Lounge. Hasn't happened in a couple weeks because we had a guest, and this week we're just carrying over the Inquisition from before that, so you can deal with it. We don't start with Brian Morris as is tradition because we already answered his question, but we start this week's Inquisition with Tom Dugan, who asks a question about how often should a song in worship be repeated, or how long should we wait until we play it again?
Mm.
I actually have some relatively strong opinions on this, in that I think it's really easy with the plethora of musical resources out there, it's really easy to play too many songs in church, to sing too many songs in church. And this isn't even getting into the transient nature of things. I'm actually ignoring that for this part. It's just that you can only really remember and have ingrained in you and really call to mind so many songs, right? And particularly as a guy who does not listen to that kind of music on the regular, there's only so much that I'm gonna, like, if I'm in a situation or thinking about some theological point and a song pops into mind, there's only so many songs that I can have come to mind. So I am in favor of repeating songs more often, having fewer songs in your database, and, you know, playing songs in back-to-back weeks or even three straight weeks. You know, what's best for your congregation? Every week at church band rehearsal, I joke with our worship minister Stephen after the last song, and that would be a good spot for the doxology. Your thoughts, Bradley?
I couldn't agree more with what you both said. And I would simply add that I think we need to be, probably to put it in two natural terms. There's a feel to, you know, hey, this song is resonating with our church in a really powerful way right now, based on where that local congregation is or what kinds of things the people are going through, what the Lord has seemed to lead the elders to emphasize. And hey, we need to maybe camp out on this song or these two or three songs for this season.
Yeah.
I think you need to make room to feel that, to be led in that way. In addition to recognizing, I think at some point or another in our planning center, we had this category of, so you can categorize songs in your library. Mm-hmm. We had a category of like timeless, or it was labeled something like that for a while. And we put those songs in there that was like, we need to bring those out once a month at least, if not more, because they're just so good. So in summary, repeat more, not less.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, it's going to be helpful to the congregation.
Yeah. Well, let's leave it there. My hand is starting to cramp from holding this headphone adapter. So
yeah, my carpal tunnel kicked in when I was trying to
hold. Yeah. Right.
My hand was going to sleep.
So, and John's saying something and I have no idea what he's saying. He could be cussing me out right now. And with the recording to Zoom, you can't really edit that out very well. So on that note, with me not knowing what's going on, go love God, love your neighbor, and make some music. We'll see you next week.